Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, I'm happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And today, we'll talk both local and national sports. Fall sports season right around the corner. We're going to start talking some high school. All in all, it's been a busy summer. I know that you have the sports seasons, but it really seems like anymore, sports are year-round, 24-7, especially on the local front. I mean, we've been watching Little League Baseball all week. We had the Pacific Southwest Regional Tournaments for the 14- and the 8-year-olds down here throughout the week. In fact, I was honored to be a part of the championship game today. Did some PA announcing in the 14-year-old division. Hawaii picking up a monster win over Bakersfield. So congratulations to Hawaii on their championship here in town today. A lot of fun, a lot of sports going on. You know, if it's not baseball season, it is off-season. And off-season camps for a lot of the local squads throughout, I guess you could say, basketball, football's gearing up. So there's a lot of other stuff going on. We are going to be joined a little bit later on in the show by Coach Ted Bianco of the Carbon High School Lady Dino basketball squad. Coach Bianco and his Carbon Lady Dinos went to Las Vegas recently and claimed first place at the summer tournament. So we're going to talk to Coach Bianco about that, plus three new head coaches. As far as the Carbon High School fall sports season goes, we'll have a new leader for the girls' tennis squad, the boys' golf team, and also volleyball. So we'll talk to Coach Ted Bianco, who's also, again, the athletic director at Carbon High. That'll be next segment here on Drive Time Sports. Right now, let's dive deep into the national headlines because there are plenty to go around, and I think this is the biggest news of the day. And if you're a Houston Rocket fan, you can somewhat breathe easy because Clint Capela is back. He strikes a 5-year deal with the Houston Rockets. This is a very big deal. Now, Capela, just how good was he? Led the league in field goal percentage last year. You can't overstate that. And he ranked fourth in block shots per game. He is so vital to the Houston Rockets and the success that they had. And without Clint Capela, and without Ariza, and without Amute, I looked at the Rockets as maybe being the third, fourth, or even fifth best team of the Western Conference. I think that highly of Clint Capela, especially when you have an aging point guard like Chris Paul. Here's another mind-boggling stat. Houston went 42-3 when Harden, Paul, and Capela all played together in the regular season. The Rockets were trying to pinch and squeeze every penny that they could, and I didn't quite grasp that concept. Houston is now the second-best team in the Western Conference. I had the Lakers at number two until this signing was official. I think Houston all of a sudden is the second-best team once again in the West. I think Capela is that important. Career year, 14 points, 10 boards per game, almost 2 blocks per contest. And again, 65% from the field. And I've never bought the argument that, well, it's easy for him because he has Chris Paul and he has James Harden. It opens up for him down low. Don't care. This guy took care of business. And the Rockets were very, very good when that trio was on the floor. That's why they had the best record in the Western Conference. And I think a lot of people forget that as well. They had home court advantage against the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. They had the best record in the entire NBA. And now all three will be back together, and I believe for quite some time. Chris Paul agrees to a 4-year deal. He got the max deal at $160 million. Harden inked a 4-year deal, $228 supermax last summer. And now you have Capela on a 4-year, $90 million deal. To me, this is perfect. And as far as the centers go in the NBA, with the changing of the guard as far as position goes, you know, the saying right now is you don't want to lose a wing player for nothing. Centers are back to getting paid. Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets gets a 5-year, $148 million deal. What was it, like a month and a half ago? Clint Capela gets a $90 million, and excuse me, it was a 5-year, $90 million deal. Rudy Gobert gets a four-year $97 million deal, which could trickle into the $100 million range if he reaches all of his incentives. Steven Adams got a $100 million deal. Andre Drummond got a $127 million deal. And so the bigs are getting paid in the NBA. I know it's changing of a guard a little bit the way it's played. You know, they have the death lineup, as they call it. Small ball. Centers are still getting paid. The Rockets are also close to adding officially Carmelo Anthony. The biggest deal here, they were waiting on Melo. They were waiting on the Melo deal to get Capella finished, because the payroll's at $136 million. See, so that was key. Fourth highest in the league. Believe it or not, Oklahoma City still has a higher payroll than the Houston Rockets. Golden State and Toronto also with the highest payrolls. They now have a projected luxury tax bill of $21 million with 11 players guaranteed. They have two partial non-guaranteed contracts with Michael Carter-Williams and also ZQ, who I actually like quite a bit. The Rockets knocked this one out of the park. It was a deal that should have been done almost immediately. I believe that Clint Capella is the most underrated player in the NBA. Does the dirty work, and he is so key to what Houston has to get accomplished. To me, this was a no-brainer. And again, second best team of the Western Conference as we sit right now. Let's move on and talk about contracts, this time in Major League Baseball. Greg Holland, who was the veteran reliever that the Cardinals signed going into the new year, after the new year started, actually, they're parting ways already. He has not really panned out after signing the one-year deal with the Cardinals. Got $14 million. That was the highest one-year free agent contract ever for a reliever. And so far this season, he's been less than spectacular. A 7.9 ERA in 25 innings over 32 appearances, and he missed nearly a month earlier this season because of a right hip injury. And so Greg Holland of the Cardinals, it's been a bad year for the Cardinals. The whole deal with Mike Matheny, it's just been a bad year for St. Louis. If you take a look at the current standings right now in Major League Baseball, I mean, that's a very tough division as it is with the Brewers and the Cubs. St. Louis right now at 51-51, 9 games back of the Cubs for the lead in the Central Division, 8 games back of the Brewers for a wild card spot, 5 games back of the Diamondbacks for the other wild card spot. So it's not been a great year for the Cardinals, but they're still in the thick of things. And so that was some news that broke a little earlier today as well. And as far as Nick Saban goes, if we're talking about contracts, might as well throw this one out there. Alabama and Nick Saban agree to a new deal. It'll keep him as the head coach through 2025, and it will pay him $8.3 million for this next season. The new agreement, which is subject to approval by the University Board of Trustees, will extend his contract by one season to 8 years and keep him in charge of Alabama until at least February of 2026. Nick Saban getting paid, and why not? Proof is in the pudding for that guy. Let's take a look at what's happening as far as the schedule in the national sports scene goes. And today, no day baseball, but we have plenty of action that'll start at 5 o'clock. Here's all the games at 5 p.m. We get the Indians and the Tigers. Tampa Bay will take on Baltimore. We get the Royals at the Yankees. The Mets travel to meet the Pirates. Also at 5:10, we get the Twins at the Red Sox. The Reds play host to the Phillies. We get the Nationals at Miami. And the Dodgers, with Clayton Kershaw on the mound, will take on the baby Braves at 5:35 p.m. That's not a slight either. I really like this Braves team. 6:10 tonight, we get the Blue Jays at the White Sox. The World Series champion Houston Astros will play host to the Texas Rangers. The Cubs on the road to take on the Cardinals. We get the A's and the Rockies at 6:40. The Mariners will take on the Angels at 8:07. We get the Diamondbacks and the Padres at 8:10. And then a nightcap tonight, it's the Brewers and the Giants at 8:15. We have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Again, when we return, we're going to hear from Coach Ted Bianco of the Carbon Lady Dino basketball team. We'll also talk the fall sports season and what's straight ahead. Some more Drive Time Sports on this Friday edition of the show. Back in just a moment on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The 2018-2019 high school sports season is right around the corner, and those that will run through the fall months are gearing up for action. The first official contest for Carbon High School will take place on the tennis court as the Lady Dinos travel to meet the North Stampede Hawks on August 9th. The Lady Dinos will continue the season on August 15th at home against Grand. Football will open up the season on August 17th at home against the Manti Templars on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Entering season four under head coach Josh Huntsman, the Dinos will play their first road game the following week against Payson. The first region contest of the year will be September 14th against Union. The cross-country team will start the season on August 23rd at Wayne High School for the Badger Invite. September 19 will mark the lone home meet for the Dinos as they play host to the Carbon Invitational. This year's region meet will take place at Lakeside Park on October 10th. Soccer will open the season on Tuesday, August 14th at home against the Gunnison Bulldogs. The final home game will take place on September 27th against Delta. The opening round of the state championship tournament is scheduled for October 10th. And looking to build off of last year's third-place performance at the state meet, the boys' golf team will start the season at Union in the second week of August. The final schedule for golf will be completed in the coming days. And under the instruction of new head coach Teresa Maurer, the volleyball season will begin for Carbon when they travel to Emory on August 22nd. The first home game will be on August 28th against Altamont. Now, the Emory Spartans will also start the fall sports season here relatively soon. The Lady Spartans soccer team will travel to meet Cypress on August 9th. The Lady Spartans will continue the season August 10th against Ben Lomond. Football is not far behind. The season is set again to open on August 17th. The Spartans will be at home against the Richfield Wildcats on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. They're entering year three under head coach John Famalo. The cross-country team will begin the season August 17th at Sugar House. And September 17th will mark the lone home meet for Emory. This year's region meet will take place in Moab on October 9th. The girls' tennis team will start the season on August 24th. And they will travel to meet San Juan and then play host to Richfield on August 28th. And the volleyball season will begin again for Emory as they take on Carbon on August 22nd. You can get the full schedules throughout the fall season for both Carbon and Emory by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. International Days weekend has arrived, and there are plenty of sporting events open for the community to participate in over the next couple of days. Carbon County Recreation and the United Way of Eastern Utah have teamed up for the third annual 5K run that'll take place tomorrow, and it runs in conjunction with Price City International Days. The race is scheduled to begin at 8 a.m. For more information, you can contact Carbon Recreation. Also taking place on Saturday tomorrow, there will be a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. That'll start at noon with registration at 11:30 a.m. at the park. Online registration is currently open. And again, you can contact Carbon Rec by calling 636-3702. The 6th annual Price City International Days Golf Tournament will return to the Carbon Country Club Golf Course tomorrow beginning at 8 a.m. with the Cannon Shotgun Start. Registration will begin at 7 a.m. and staging will then take place at 7:30. You can call the country club to see if there's any openings, as the tournament is one of the more popular ones in the Castle Country. And there will also be a horseshoe tournament tomorrow at Washington Park. The cost to play in this is $20 per team. It's a doubles format, double elimination tournament. The reputation of this tournament continues to grow and grow. It will start after the parade. Registration is expected to begin at noon, with the tournament itself taking place at 12:30. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Friday edition of the show. We're going to talk off-season here for just a moment. Now, just a reminder, gearing up for the fall sports year for high school, a full schedule for both Carbon and Emory is available right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. We're going to talk about those sports and also some of the off-season activities right now with Carbon High School girls basketball coach and athletic director Ted Bianco. Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coach, we'll dive right into it as far as the off-season goes for you guys. You traveled, the basketball team, the girls' basketball team traveled to Las Vegas, and you guys had some stiff competition. And you guys came away with the tournament championship. As far as the off-season goes for basketball, football, baseball, I know there's always a lot of tournaments, soccer, volleyball, it's the same thing that these teams travel to. But you guys played some pretty stiff competition in Las Vegas, and this is something to be really proud of.
Absolutely. We've been going down there for the past 3 years and have faced teams from all over the country and from all over the world also, for that matter. we were fortunate enough to go down and play against some really good teams this year, and I came away with the championship of the varsity division that we were in.
Coach, there's no doubt that this team that you have, I mean, you guys have been building something, I know, over the last couple of seasons, and we know, looking at the underclassmen on this squad, it's going to be a special couple of seasons for this team. I don't know if this helps confidence or not, because hopefully these girls understand the ability that they have, but it definitely can't hurt confidence moving into the next season.
Oh, definitely, and, you know, too, the last two teams that we played in that tournament were probably better than most of the teams that we'll face in 3A this year. The Colorado team that we beat in the championship game, they were extremely big, extremely athletic, and we just held our own against them. We continued to play really good defense throughout every game we played. We lost one game while we were down there, and I was against a team from Hawaii, which was quite athletic and gave us some fits, and we ended up losing by four and gave ourselves a chance to win, but just couldn't pull it out. But we're extremely proud of what the girls accomplished. When we made it to the tournament, we had to beat a little team from Hawaii that was they're about our size, but they were extremely quick and aggressive, and we continued to do what we do defensively, and our defense is really what got us the wins while we were down there. The team we played on Sunday from Denver, they were probably about 6 foot across the line or better, and they had two big guards, and we just battled the whole game. We ended up winning 60-52 for the championship, and what was interesting about all of that is nobody thought that this little white team from Utah was going to step on the court and give them, even give them a challenge, and we held our own, and it was very impressive to see our kids do what they did.
I've always been told, Coach, that the biggest step that you'll see a student-athlete make at the high school level is from that sophomore to junior year. I mean, is that accurate? And if it is, I know you guys had a lot of sophomores turning into juniors in this upcoming season.
Well, it's, we've actually had a really good summer. We went to Utah Valley for a tournament. We went to the University of Utah for a camp. And then, of course, Vegas. And you can sure tell a difference between their confidence and how they play, and they've kind of fit into their roles, and they've done some fantastic things for us this year so far. So we're looking forward to some good things happening in the season, and obviously summertime's a little different than the regular season, but you can gauge a lot about your team in the summertime, and we've learned a lot about our kids.
Now that summer is basically almost gone, I mean, we're going to be talking about fall sports here before we know it, Coach. Is there anything left planned for the basketball team? Do you guys have anything else here over the next couple of weeks, or is that pretty much it?
It's pretty much it. Our summer stuff is winding down. We may do a few open gyms. We'll start open gym back up in September. And for those girls that aren't playing a fall sport, we may put them in a fall league just so they can stay a little bit busy, which will be good for them.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Lady Dino basketball squad. Coach, let's transition into the fall sports season here for Carbon High. Of course, you're the athletic director at the school. Very busy season. We have six sports that are popping up. I know we have a couple of new coaches as well within these sports. Let's start by talking about the new coaches. We've talked to Brett Johnson, who's going to take over the boys' golf team. And, I mean, that is a very... that's a program that has a great reputation, and they have a very strong history. And they got some great returners returning this year as well.
He does, and they did lose some, they lost some really good seniors last year off their team too. But we should have a strong outing this year, and with the kids that are coming back, we feel like Brett's going to do a good job. He's played a lot of golf. He's been involved with golf for a long time, and he works there at the golf shop, and he always has Tom Keene that he can always go back and get advice from if he needs it. So we're looking forward to Brett taking over the program, and I think he'll do a good job. On that respect, we're talking about some of the former golfers that were on our team last year. Riker Smith, he's headed to Florida, I believe, today.
Right.
To play in a tournament that he qualified for, a national high school tournament. I think it was a month ago that he qualified for that. So I'd like to wish him some luck while he's down there.
Yeah, yeah. Riker's doing some great stuff. And, of course, he'll be playing his college golf at Southern Utah once the fall season kicks up and in. Coach, Brett Johnson's not the only new head coach for the fall sports season as well. You guys recently appointed a new volleyball coach as Julia Chattel took a job with USU Eastern.
Yes, we're extremely excited to have Teresa Maurer as our new head coach. She's been doing a great job with the girls so far and has gotten them working out on a daily basis throughout the summer. And we're really excited for her and her staff because I mean, she brings some energy to the program that and her knowledge from what she's experienced in both college and high school. And she's going to be a very good addition to our volleyball program.
For those who maybe don't know what an athletic director does, Coach, I'm going to ask you this question. What job responsibilities do you take on when you have a first-year head coach or any at all?
Well, one of the things that I think that you have to do is they obviously have to know the rules and they have to know what they can and can't do. But the big thing is to be there for advice if they need it. And, when you have coaches that aren't campus on our campus, it's a little more difficult for them because they're not there with their athletes every day. So, they'll ask a lot of questions and hopefully I'm there to answer whatever questions they have. So, like I said, we're really excited with our new staff and it should be a good fall for us.
As far as football goes, I've kept in close contact with Coach Huntsman over the last little while. And one of the exciting things here, Coach, there's enough kids for this football team to fill the freshman team. I mean, that is such great news when you take a look at the numbers for football because really at the end of the day, that's what leads to success in that sport. You could have 11 stellar athletes, but if you only have 11 guys or 15 guys on the sideline, it doesn't go very far. The fact is the numbers seem to be growing with the Carbon High football team, and that's a great thing.
It is. We've struggled with getting numbers out for years, and it'll be a good thing to have a freshman team this year. And, hopefully those kids understand what kind of work they have to put in. The big thing is, the off season is what generally makes a football program. And the weight room is so crucial to the success of any football team. And so hopefully these kids have been doing the necessary work to get, bigger, faster, and stronger. Coming into the season, we have a lot of returners from last year's team, and like I said, hopefully we're going to be ready for the challenges ahead of us. And it is exciting to know that we have a good number of kids coming out, especially to field a freshman football team. So, looking for good things from our football program this year, and hopefully it's an exciting year for us.
One of the sports that it seems if it's carbon or emery, there's always a lot of success. It's cross country, and it's also a sport that, unfortunately, I don't think gets enough pub. I mean, I think these athletes are pretty spectacular when you take a look at what they do. We have the cross country season coming up as well.
Well, and like you said, it doesn't get as much publicity as the other sports because it's not a sport that everybody comes out and watches like a football game or a volleyball match. But Talise Allen and her assistant, they do an extremely good job of getting kids out. And I think they're going to have about 20 or 30 kids between the boys and girls come out for the cross-country team. And we generally do quite well in cross-country. Our kids are very competitive in region, and we've had, I think it was about 5 years ago, we had a state champion in the Marson kid. And, we've had a lot of success with our cross-country program, and that also feeds into our track program. So both those programs together have produced a lot of really good athletes and kids that have represented Carbon High School very well over the years.
Coach, if we go back to this past spring, the boys soccer team had a very, very good year. And this, again, this goes for Carbon and Emory. I think both boys soccer squads put out phenomenal campaigns. Does that kind of momentum on the boys' side, does it kind of reflect on the girls' side as well? I know soccer is a growing sport, but is that excitement, is that something that transfers over?
I think it would transfer over better if they were both during the same season.
Mm-hmm.
If the boys and girls were both playing in the fall or both playing in the spring. But I do think that enthusiasm and that desire to play soccer is there for both programs. And we've had a lot of excitement as far as kids coming out and participating and growing the programs and getting better. You think about our girls program from last year, they went and knocked off Emory last year in the first round of the state playoffs, and who was the number one seed.
Right.
And then went on, and unfortunately, Kelsey Sorensen got a concussion, couldn't play at the North Stampede game, so we were down a goalie, and that kind of affects the way you play when you're used to having that one particular person back there in the net all the time. So Cynthia and her staff have done a really good job of getting kids to participate with soccer, and last I looked, we had almost 30 girls that were interested in playing, so we're looking forward to some big things out of that program too. And I know the youth program around Carbon County is getting bigger, and there's a lot of girls that are participating in soccer, so that's, you're going to see that start to get better as we move along, kind of like our boys program. The youth programs are what really help the high school programs out, so it should be an exciting year for our soccer program.
And we can end with this, Coach. We also have tennis as well. That'll be starting up here before we know it.
And Pete Riggs is going to be the girls' tennis coach this year. Our previous coach moved to Utah County to take a position up there. And so Pete's taken over, and it'll be exciting to see what that group does. Tennis, we don't really have a real strong youth program, and Pete's been building that and working with that over the years, and he has quite a few kids out in his youth program in the summertime, so it should show some benefits with what our boys and girls teams are going to be doing in the fall and spring. So we're excited to see what those kids do also.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on and talk a little bit about what's going on within the program. Thank you so much for the time, and I always appreciate the conversation.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Jordan, and it's been a fun time this summer, and hopefully that bleeds into the fall. So I'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right, thank you very much, Coach. Have a great day.
Hey, you too.
Again, that's Coach Ted Bianco of the Carbon High Lady Dinos taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. More coming up right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. There's been a lot of talk recently in the national sports scene about loyalty. It was a topic yesterday when we talked about Kevin Durant. It was a topic last week when the Toronto Raptors traded DeMar DeRozan, same player that re-upped to play for a very long time in Toronto, wanted to be a part of the Raptors. That's the NBA, but it comes from different ends of the spectrum because you had Kevin Durant, who was not loyal to Oklahoma City, jumped squads and went to Golden State, a team that OKC lost to in a seven-game set. And then on the flip side, you had DeMar DeRozan, who could have went anywhere in the league, but he decided he wanted to be a part of the Toronto Raptor franchise, wanted to spend his entire career in Toronto, wanted to become an intricate member of that community. And the Raptors led him to believe that he was in their long-term plans, and then they traded him for Kawhi Leonard. And DeRozan was upset about it. There are certain athletes in professional sports where loyalty applies. Kobe Bryant played 20 years in L.A., Magic Johnson played every single season of his career with the Lakers. John Stockton played every single season with the Utah Jazz. Dirk Nowitzki is going into year 21 with the Mavericks. Tim Duncan played his whole career with the Spurs. That's just the NBA. It seems like it's a little bit different in the NFL. I mean, look, Joe Montana didn't finish his career with the 49ers. Joe Namath didn't finish his career with the Jets. Johnny Unitas didn't finish his career with the Colts. Jerry Rice didn't finish his career with the 49ers. There are rare occurrences. John Elway is always going to be remembered as a Denver Bronco. Dan Marino, always going to be remembered as a member of the Miami Dolphins. It's even more rare in Major League Baseball. Cal Ripken, that's rare. That doesn't happen. Mariano Rivera, again, it just doesn't happen very often. So you have to decide where you draw that line of loyalty. Let's talk Bryce Harper and the Washington Nationals. That's where I was going with this particular segment. Regardless of what we thought at the beginning of the season, that the three teams in the National League would be the Cubs, Dodgers, and Nationals, when it's all said and done, it was a three-pony race. And I think the majority of pundits, baseball enthusiasts, and fans would have agreed with you on that. It was the Nationals, Cubs, Dodgers in no particular order. We're now past the 100-game mark in baseball, and let's be real, the Nationals are not that team that we thought they were. They're not. And Bryce Harper is about to go into free agency. And I know right now, if you're a Nationals fan, you have that warm, fuzzy feeling right now with Bryce Harper because he put on a show for you at the Home Run Derby. And he was so complimentary of the National fans after he won the Derby in his own ballpark. That was neat. It was a great night for baseball. That was an awesome Home Run Derby. Do not think for a second that Bryce Harper is a shoo-in to return for the Washington Nationals, because he's not. And the way money gets thrown around in Major League Baseball, he's going to garner a $300, $350, maybe even a $400 million contract. It's going to happen. And the Nationals are not a good baseball team right now. Again, they are 500, and they recently struggled against the Miami Marlins, a team that is built to lose this season. Here's the question. Do you consider trading Bryce Harper ahead of Thursday or Tuesday's non-waiver trade deadline? Steven Strasburg is back on the disabled list. The Phillies and the Braves, both ahead of the Nationals in the NL East, and I think both are better baseball teams. The wild card? I don't think so. Because when you look at the wild card race right now, the Brewers, the Pirates, the freaking Pittsburgh Pirates are two games in the win column up on the Nationals for the wild card. The NL West, the Giants, the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks, all better than Washington. In fact, when you look at it front to back, there's currently six teams that are ahead of Washington for that wild card race. Washington has been right there for the better part of five, six seasons in Major League Baseball as a true contender, but this is a serious question. Do you look to become a seller within the next 3 days? And it's already being reported that the Dodgers have checked in with the Nationals to see if Bryce Harper will be available. This is according to NBCLA's Michael Dorte. The Nationals are still undecided on if they want to sell, but if they do, the Dodgers have the options. LA is a likely destination for Bryce Harper. The Nationals have started discussions with teams to gauge the interest if they do in fact decide to sell on Bryce Harper. This goes back to the loyalty situation, the loyalty conversation. Harper has done some unbelievable things in a very short period of time. He's only 25 years old. Been in the league since he was 19 with the Nationals. Career .277 hitter. Career OBP of .384. This year, by far the lowest. He batted .319 last season. Right now, he's batting .216. By far the lowest of his career, even when he was 19 years old. He played 139 games as a 19-year-old. Batted .270 that year. Batting .216. Been able to hit the long ball. He's gone yard 25 times. Strikeouts, 113. And when I look at the Nationals, Juan Soto is the real deal. Again, it's a teenage phenom. This kid is going to be around for a very long time. You're not starting from scratch if you do in fact decide it's the right time to move on from Harper. And I'll tell you right now, if I was the Washington Nationals, I would seriously consider it. Do you want to lose this guy outright? Because here's the problem. You're not winning with him. He's in his prime right now. You haven't won the National League once with Bryce Harper. And the reason I bring up the loyalty conversation is because as an owner, you owe it to your fans who pay their hard-earned money to put the best product out on the field. As a general manager or president of baseball operations, your job relies on you winning games. And while Washington has been good over the past 6-7 years, again, they haven't gone to the World Series, haven't won anything, and now you're playing .500 baseball, and Harper's having the worst season of his career in a contract year. You cannot run the risk of losing this guy outright into the offseason. You're playing .500 ball with him. That's not good enough to get into the postseason. And when we talk professional sports, the idea is to win games. And we have watched teams strip it all the way down and build up powerhouses. It happened with the Chicago Cubs and Theo Epstein. It happened with the Houston Astros. The Nationals are in a situation where they can get better for the future by moving Harper and helping out this young budding talent in the outfield, because that's what they have in Soto, or you can run the risk of losing him in the offseason. And I don't care what the sentiment was following that home run derby. The Nationals are not the team to beat in the National League. And if someone from the American League or, say, the Cubs or Dodgers offer Bryce Harper an off-the-wall contract this year, he will take it. I believe you have to trade Harper. I think it's the perfect situation, the perfect time to move on from Harper. I'll bring in Travis Anderson now for this segment. Travis, everything that I've just talked about over the last 6-7 minutes, to me, if I'm the Nationals, I don't even think that it's really hard. I make sure I get proper return for Harper, but at the same time, this team should be sellers over the next 3 days.
Yeah, you're not making the playoffs. Bryce Harper's going to command a lot of money that I just don't think Washington should pour that much money into one player. I think they need to build around other pieces like their pitching staff. So if I was Washington, I would trade Bryce Harper and get younger prospects in.
Very interesting article that was written by the Washington Post on this particular topic. It's by Barry Saloriga. And he brings up a great point when looking at the facts of where the Nationals are. The Braves were terrible yesterday against the Dodgers, and I still think the Braves are a year away. I don't believe the Braves should be buyers at the deadline, because to me, this is a team that has exceeded their expectations.
Okay? They are a year ahead of schedule.
They are. Maybe even 2 years ahead of schedule, the way they're playing. The Phillies have really next to no postseason experience on this team. Really, but you take a look at it. As a collective group, they definitely don't. Both teams are vulnerable. Okay, and so if Washington was to get into the postseason, I don't know if that changes the idea here, if you look at that as a fact. At the same time, they're not as good as the Dodgers. They're not as good as the Cubs. They're not as good as the Brewers. They're not as good as the Diamondbacks. Right now, they're probably the 7th or 8th best team in the National League. That's a I think that's a fact. I really do.
What are they, 51-51, Washington? They're 500?
They're 500 right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're like 3-4 games ahead of Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's 45 and whatever they are. So yeah, I would agree that they are 7 or 8 in the National League. And that's just in the National League.
You cannot afford to lose Harper outright. And I think it's one of those situations, you can even consult Harper with it. And I know this is easier said than done. You sit him down. Want a commitment. You know you've been negotiating with him and his agent over the last 3 years.
Yes, you have.
So you know if there's hope in bringing him back. You know. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think he's coming back. I really don't. I think he's gone. And, you know, as far as Rizzo goes and what he's been able to build, look, they've been great for the past 6 years. They've been perennial contenders. But if you lose him outright, even though you have that young budding talent in the outfield, you are flushing away 7 years in which you were a contender by getting nothing for him. Now, I don't know what the price would be for Harper. I don't know what teams would be willing to pay. I said this with the Machado deal to LA. You don't rent a 26-year-old top 10 player in the league. You don't. Those guys are not rentals. A rental is a 30-year-old. Harper is 25. He's younger than Machado. And so if you make a deal for him, you're going to give up a lot, and you better be willing to pay him. And that's why it's interesting to me that LA was the first team to make the call on Harper to see if he's available. Because there's no way they can afford to sign both these guys in the offseason, right? That's a big, big check that you'd be signing.
If you're the Dodgers, we know that they don't care about spending money.
They really don't. Paying.
So it wouldn't shock me if they got Bryce Harper and got Machado and paid both.
Okay, answer me this before we end this segment. Is Harper wearing a Nationals uniform on Wednesday?
I'm going to say yes, because I don't think Washington has the stones to trade him.
You got to, though.
You have to.
If you don't think he's coming back, you have to.
The backlash from the fan base and all that, I think, would pressure Washington in not doing
it. And I don't want to, you know what, I don't want to say anything negative about fans. I think it's great that the fans back Bryce Harper. Like I said, they
but
got a warm
fuzzy. You can't care about them.
You can't. They got a warm, fuzzy feeling, I know, from the home run derby. But I'll tell you what fans like more than loyalty to a player, winning.
Winning cures all. So I would move him. I don't think they do.
I think this team, as it sits right now, who knows how long it is before they contend, because, again, they got talent in the outfield. I love Soto. I think the kid's the real deal. You're not tearing it down to the bare minimum. You have pieces, and you're going to get prospects in return if that's what you want for Bryce Harper. I think you got to pull the deal. I think it's an interesting storyline to follow. I find it really interesting that Washington is saying no. If you were 100% positive that this guy was going to re-up in the offseason, you would say no. He's absolutely not even remotely available for trade, but they're not. They're gauging interest. And that leads me to believe that there's a chance he's moved.
Yeah, I would move him because you're not making the playoffs. You're 51-51, and that tells me that you're a 500 team and you're not making the playoffs. And you are what your record says you are.
You are.
You are 7 or 8 in the National League. So I would trade him. They won't.
Got a break for just a moment. Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll come back to put the final touches on the week when we return.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
Well, here's some terrible news coming out of the NFL. Jason Verrett suffers a season-ending Achilles injury on the first day of training camp. Did you see this story?
I didn't.
Man. Suffered the injury during a conditioning test today, and of course he's going to miss the entire season. Adam Schefter of ESPN reported the test, confirmed that Verrett tore his Achilles. He's going to miss the entire year. It was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network who originally reported the injury. He's been plagued by injury woes since the Chargers really drafted him in 2014. Played just 6 games as a rookie. Tore his ACL in 4 appearances into the 2016 campaign. On top of that, was placed on the season-ending injured reserve list with a knee injury after playing a single game last season. And now this? That's terrible.
Terrible loss for a team that a lot of people are high on going into the season is the Chargers.
They are, yeah.
A team that the AFC West, I think, is theirs for the taking. So, yeah, that's a huge loss.
And this news doesn't really have a lot to do with anything in the NFL, unless you love jerseys. But the NFL is allowing the Los Angeles Rams to throw their throwback uniforms into heavy rotation. Friday, the defending NFC West champs made the announcement they're going to wear their blue and gold throwback uniforms for 5 games this season. And listen, again, it's a minor topic. I get it. The city of Los Angeles, the fans in Los Angeles want nothing to do with St. Louis. And the colors the Rams are wearing are St. Louis.
Rightfully so.
I guess, yes. So the Rams get to wear their usual white home uniforms for 2 regular season games, and they'll wear them on the road. But here's the big issue, Travis. The NFL has such a tight lock on what teams can do with their uniforms, and for a lot of people, they don't like that. I hate what Nike has done to the NBA. Hate it. I hate it. One day, I'm going to turn on an NBA game, and I'm going to see the home team wearing a light jersey and the road team wearing a dark jersey, just like it used to be, just the way it should be.
There is nothing more obnoxious in NBA basketball than turning the TV on, like you said, and seeing a team wearing home uniforms on the road.
Home uniforms on the road. The home team's wearing road uniforms at home. It's just odd
just
to me.
Get 2 jerseys like it used to be.
The NFL has done a very good job of making sure that circus doesn't happen, and that's why the Rams haven't been able to wear their throwback uniforms all the time. They're unveiling some new uniforms in 2020, so the uniform situation has been pretty chaotic for the Rams. But look, I'm the type, I hate when Oregon changes their uniforms every week. I absolutely despise that.
It's annoying.
It is. They never wear the same uniform twice. I don't like that at all. And again, it's a minor topic. It's more of a pet peeve than anything. But when people bring up the NFL doesn't allow things to be done to the uniforms. They only allow throwbacks once or twice a season. This is why. Because of what Nike has done in the NBA, and I wish the NBA would implement something similar. The Rams will get their throwback uniforms 5 times this year. And I am not, I'm not afraid to say, those throwback unis, they're the best looking uniforms in the NFL.
No, they are. They're the best jersey in professional football.
I agree.
By far.
I agree. Out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Ted Bianco with the Carbon Dinos for joining us. Do not forget, tomorrow we have the best of Drive Time Sports. We're a week away from our new NFL show debuting on Saturday afternoons, and Sunday we'll be back with another best of show as well. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.